to 40 degrees in the outlying suburbs, and tomorrow's weather, partly sunny, hazy, warm, gusty winds during the afternoon hours, high 68 to 74. 71 now, it's sunny. Top of the news, Mayor Beam presents 1977 budget, $250 million below current spending, says Stavisky bill could wreck it. Texas judge appoints two relatives as executors of Howard Hughes' estate when business associates fail to produce will. District attorney says Patty Hearst has confessed being on a raid to bomb empty police cars with the SLA. And that's the 4 o'clock report on the Wall Street Closing. I'm Lyle Vann, editor for the news, C. Campbell Crawford, as we go now to the big W-shaped desk for Bob and Ray and their big show.
Wonderful round of applause for Lyle from our group down here who are listening to the news every minute of it.
They discovered that Lyle has discovered the W-shaped desk right. Instead of U, so everything is fine.
We do our warm-up before the 4 o'clock news so that our audience can listen attentively to Lyle and the news.
Then, of course, by 4:15, they're a little bit cooled off.
Cool down rather than warm up, I suppose.
A lot of surprises in store for the next 3 hours, so stay with us here at 710 on your dial. You know, a lot of medium-sized, well, even smaller cities are coming up with their own symphony orchestras these days, or civic leaders in almost every town who would like to organize a symphony. And so we've invited a lady with a little bit of the know-how to come here and be our guest today and tell us how it's done. Mrs. Henrietta Wabasher, and she took on the job last year organizing a symphony orchestra for Loon River, Wisconsin. Is that right, ma'am?
That's right, sir. Of course, I didn't do it all by myself. All of the ladies in the Loon River Social and Garden Club had a hand in the project.
But it was your idea originally, right?
Yes, it was. It seemed that the girls at our club meeting seemed to be doing nothing but sitting around and talking about what their children were growing up to be, and they had no cultural advantages. Mm-hmm. And as a result, they didn't seem to have enough ambition to even become juvenile delinquents.
And you thought that...
I might add a bit of humor.
You thought a symphony orchestra might snap them out of all this lethargy, huh?
Well, they needed culture in some form. Mm-hmm. First, we started setting up an art gallery, but all we could afford were pictures cut out of magazines, and hardly anybody came to see them. It was then that I got the idea for the symphony.
Well, now, that's the reason we asked you to come here today, for the benefit of our listeners who, well, may be contemplating organizing a symphony. What was the first step you took?
Well, you have to buy instruments, and you have to hire musicians, and that takes a lot of money.
Scratch.
Yes. So we just assigned each girl so many pages of the telephone directory, and then we began calling everybody in town and soliciting funds.
Sounds like a good idea. How'd the telephone campaign work out?
Well, at first, most of the people we called told us we had the wrong number and then hung up. Then the editor of a local newspaper took a hand in the thing.
You began plugging for a symphony in the newspaper, is that it?
No, he ran an editorial saying that a symphony would turn our younger generation into a bunch of softies and eggheads.
Mm.
And he referred to the girls in our club as a group of meddlesome old biddies.
Well, did that editorial have any effect on your fundraising efforts?
Well, I hope to tell you it did. The very next day, people began stoning our club members in the street. Several of the girls were injured pretty badly.
Oh, it was a terrible thing.
Well, it was. But that was only the beginning. Within a few days, word got around that the whole thing had been my idea.
Well, I imagine things really started to pop then, huh?
Well, a mob gathered in the front yard of my home every night for about a week. A couple of times, the men brought a rope along with them.
You must have been terrified.
It was a terrible experience. And finally, my husband and I did the only thing we could do. He sold out his business, and we moved to Milwaukee. Nobody knows us there, and we feel fairly safe.
And, of course, Loon River never did get its symphony, huh?
Oh, lands, no. The whole idea was dropped once and for all.
Well, Mrs. Wabasher, we certainly want to thank you for dropping by today and telling us how you tackled the job of bringing culture to your town.
Well, I was glad to come. I just hope my experience will teach others to leave well enough alone.
I'm sure it will. Thanks again, ma'am.
Backstage, Noble Wife, the story of America's favorite family of the Footlights and of their fight for security and happiness against the concrete heart of Broadway. The Backstages, along with Greg Marlowe, are relaxing in their suite at Milan's Hotel Raphael watching television and waiting to see the late evening talk show they're scheduled to appear on later as guests.
Will you hear Mary say?
Well, we can watch it tonight and see just how we should prepare ourselves when we appear on... When are we going to be on?
Yes, what day is it? Next week?
Next week.
Next week. Well, that'll give us plenty of time to kind of zero in, find out...
Do they want me to go on, too, do you suppose, Mr. Marlowe?
Oh, yes, sure. You're part of the company, Calvin.
I don't know about you, though, Pop. I didn't mention you.
Well, I'll be there in case they decide they want to use my talents.
Well, I don't think I'd like to go on unless Pop goes on. If we don't all go on, then I don't think I'll go.
No, I think maybe that's the situation.
The way I feel about it, too.
Well, I appreciate the votes of confidence, but...
All right, well, I'll let them know, then, that... If they want you three, they have to take Pop.
Why'd you say that?
Well, I don't think you should put it that way.
No, I don't make an ultimatum out of it, Greg.
No, it must be an easier way to put it.
Oh, I think you're making all too much out of this. After all, I'm just an old stage doorman. I do tap dance occasionally.
But you are essentially a very dull guest. You know that.
Yes, right. So I don't want to take away from your appearance, Mary.
Well, I don't know. Is he's all that dull?
Well, he's
Calvin.
Pretty dull, Mary.
Yeah, he is. You got to admit.
Well, yeah.
No, I am. Dull when I'm on the show there. But
dull as dishwater, I think, is the expression.
Wait a minute. Isn't it 11:30?
Yes, it
is. This must be the channel. It should be coming on any second now.
What is it like, the Tonight Show?
I think so, yeah.
There it is.
There it is. Coming on.
Yep. That's it.
And is Giovanni.
Boy, it's just like at home, isn't it?
Well,
there he is. Oh, he's popular here. Yeah. He'll probably do an Italian monologue first, don't you think?
Does a golf swing, too.
It's realizzare.
What are you laughing at, Barry?
Well, it must be a joke.
Oh, he's got them with that one, all right.
That's okay. I don't understand it, but it must be a joke.
No, you can almost understand.
Yeah. Must be something about...
Telling a French story, I think.
Oh, he put a dig into New York, too.
Oh, you folks are going to... You're going to have fun on this show, Mary and Harry. And so our friends get a look at the television show they'll be appearing on next week. And you ought to be here tomorrow when we'll hear Greg Marlowe say...
Yes, they said Pop could go on.
That's tomorrow in the next exciting episode of Mary Backstage Noble Wife. Word Carr speaking.
Okay. Far out.
The United States Mint, one of the nation's leading producers of fine new money, presents another dramatic story from the files of the emergency ward. Greetings and welcome. I'm Dr. Gerhard Snutten, handsome young physician who's not yet established a practice of his own. Instead, I work in the emergency ward of a big city hospital. The emergency ward is a place where the drama of human misery unfolds 24 hours a day. Take the other evening, for example. I was utilizing a spare moment to engage in medical research when my assistant, Nurse Rudehouse, turned to me and said...
Doctor, why are you dangling your pocket watch in front of that baby kitten's face?
I'm proving that hypnotism is a safe and effective anesthetic, Nurse Rudehouse. And notice how I've placed the kitten in a stupor, completely immobilized.
Well, he looks awfully bright-eyed to be in a stupor. I'd say he just thinks you want to play with him.
Nonsense, Nurse Rudehouse. I've already told him to pretend he's a patient preparing for surgery, and you know how seldom we get people in the operating room who feel like playing.
Pardon me. Is this the emergency ward of a big city hospital?
Yes, it is, and I'm Dr. Gerhard Snutten, handsome young physician who has not yet established a practice of his own. I might also add that we disapprove of people who walk on our highly polished floor wearing brass bugles on their feet.
This isn't a bugle, Doc. It's a trumpet. You see, I was at a tea dance this afternoon, and the orchestra wouldn't play a waltz like I asked them to, so I finally got mad and kicked the trumpet player in the trumpet. That's how I got stuck on my foot this way.
Well, it's probably cutting off circulation to the toes. That could prove serious. You're going to need an immediate transfusion to get the blood pumping through that foot again.
Well, Doctor, that's ridiculous. You can't restore circulation by putting more blood in a person's body than he needs.
Nurse Rudolph, the mere fact that I purchased your boxed lunch at the intern's picnic doesn't entitle you to kibitz on my medical decision.
Excuse me, but if you people are planning to argue about this for a while, I think I'll go sit down. Trying to stand with this trumpet stuck to my foot is really murder on my arches.
Well, very well, but don't go far. I'll have to check your blood type so I don't pump you full of the wrong kind of gook.
Okay, Doc, I'll be right over there.
Nurse Rudolph, prepare to take a blood sample. You must have a pin or an old razor blade around here somewhere, don't you?
Somehow, this just doesn't seem like the proper treatment.
They said the same thing when Madame Curie started making people drink radium. But she wound up winning the Pulitzer Prize.
Hey, Doc, look what I did.
Yes, I see what you've done. You just put another nick in our floor that may never come out.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, but it suddenly occurred to me that if I slipped my foot out of my shoe, the trumpet might come off with it, and I was right.
Well, I noticed that the shoe is still stuck inside the horn, even though you're not wearing it. However, I regard that as a problem for a shoe cobbler rather than a medical man.
Yeah, and I never ask you to handle a job that's beneath your professional dignity. What do I owe you for your services?
Well, we may have to put a whole new tile in that floor to replace the one you banged up, but if I lay it myself, it shouldn't run more than 75 cents.
Oh, okay, Doc, here you are. Goodbye.
Bye. Well, Nurse Rudolph, I've pulled another pathetic soul back from the brink of permanent ill health. So you may simply enter the notation in your casebook. Patient released. Cured. The F&M Schaefer Brewing Company, New York, New York.
Life is a play, and we all play a part. The lover, the dreamer, the clown.
Yes.
The dreamer and lover are always in tears. The clown spreads sunshine around. The life with a smile is the life worthwhile.
Oh, I love it!
Down till the curtain comes down. Life is a joke, and the laugh is on us. We grumble, we sorrow, we pine. We all know that laughter is good for the soul. A smile's a real welcome sign.
Everything is beautiful.
Grin till that heart within says, this is the road to sunshine.
Barry Farber, I'm okay. I don't need this.
Just in your best Ila Juba. Be a Pagliaccio
Thank you, audience.
One member appreciated it anyway. That was a regular tour de force with Bobby Short, is it?
Yeah, Bobby Short, helped out by Carmine and Barry Farber.
Barry, old gang, Pagin.
Pagin.
Everybody.
Like to make it a real big family musical offering.
Seemed like only one member appreciated
it. Well, that's one. We pleased one, right?
It's an average. You're gonna be...
And now, the Auburn Motor Company, maker of fine cars up to but not including 1938, brings you another episode of The Gathering Dusk, a heartwarming story of a girl who's never allowed misfortune to shake her belief that things are bound to get worse. As we look in on the Bessinger household today, Edna is rearranging the andirons by the downstairs fireplace. It's late afternoon, and Mr. Cloyer, the regional FBI agent stationed in the village, is just arriving.
Oh, it's you, Federal Bureau of Investigation Field Representative Cloyer. It was kind of you to answer my urgent call so quickly. I hope no one is trying to overthrow the local government while you're away from the office.
No, I don't think you need to be concerned about that, Miss Bessinger. The same village council has been in office here for 20 years, so I'm sure nobody's planning to use violence to throw the members out.
Well, you just never know. They've done such a terrible job. The chuck holes on Elm Street are getting bigger all the time, and there's no telling when the peasants may get fed up and take the law into their own hands.
Well, there really aren't any peasants in Red Boiling Springs, and if the people aren't satisfied with the council members, they can always vote them out of office.
Yes, I suppose that's true. It's just so much trouble, though, to walk clear down to the polling place on election day. That's the nice part about a revolution. You can just sit right there in your front porch and start shooting whenever you feel like it.
Well, no, you can't do that, Miss Bessinger. That's against the law.
Well, I don't know why it should be. The authorities wouldn't even realize it was a revolution until it was too late. They'd just think I was a loyal citizen out on the front porch shooting off a rifle.
Well, that's the part that would be against the law. You can't fire a gun inside the village limits without having the police come to investigate.
My stars, our constitutional rights just don't mean a thing anymore, do they? I remember years ago, my brother Waldo used to fire out the attic window at people passing by, and they never put him in jail.
Well, I'm sure they would have, but the court decided he wasn't competent to stand trial because he didn't know what he was doing, so they just put him in a hospital.
Yes, that's what they did, all right. And it's certainly gotten lonesome around the house with Waldo away. I believe you're the first person I've had a chance to talk to in almost a week, and I do appreciate you dropping by to visit a lonely single girl.
Well, we do seem to be having a visit, Miss Bessinger, but I'm hoping that isn't the only reason you called and asked me to rush right over from the office.
No, this is strictly business, Federal Bureau of Investigation Field Representative Cloyer.
Good.
It's just come to my attention that Grandma Wanderman has turned her back on America and sworn allegiance to a foreign power. Naturally, I'm worried sick that it may be one of our enemies and that Grandma is planning a reign of terror against me.
Well, the FBI is always concerned about threats to national security, Miss Bessinger, but it's hard to believe that Grandma Wanderman is plotting violence on behalf of a foreign government. She's almost 90 years old.
Well, I'm not absolutely sure that the country she represents now is devoted to terrorism. The foreign flag she's flying from the roof of her house is unfamiliar to me. But I'm sure that red banner with the white diagonal stripes she's run up the pole over there is not one of our close allies.
Well, I see what you're referring to now, Miss Bessinger, but that thing above Grandma Wanderman's house isn't a foreign flag, not even flying from a flagpole. It's just a child's kite that's gotten caught in her television antenna.
Oh, I do believe you're right, Federal Bureau of Investigation Field Representative Cloyer. And here I thought that cloth tail hanging down was just another symbol of Grandma's defiance of law and order. Why, this does lift a terrible burden of worry from my shoulders. I almost feel as if I'm no longer standing in the gathering dusk.
Can it be that Edna may at last find happiness, free from the fear that an enemy power has set up headquarters across the street? Or will it only lead to further heartbreak when she realizes that a 90-year-old woman who flies kites may be equally dangerous? Join us for the next episode when Edna may be forced into a sneak attack against Grandma Wanderman in the gathering dusk.
Once again, in sunny mid-Manhattan, it's 71 degrees. And that, friends, is the 5 o'clock rush hour report. This is John Scott. Next news as it happens, next scheduled news at 5:30 with Roger Skibinis over WOR Radio 710, The Talk of New York. And now stay tuned for more Bob and more Ray and more Radio New York over WOR New York.
And it's time to pay another of our regular visits to the Bob and Ray Hobby Hut. The gentleman who conducts that feature for us is, of course, Mr. Neil Clummer, the editor of Wasting Time magazine. Neil is known throughout the world as Mr. Hobby himself, and he's just arrived with his special guest of the week. So suppose you go right ahead and begin the interview, Neil.
Well, thank you very much, Bob. I do want to have as much time as possible this week because my guest is none other than Harvey Thaxter Wakeman, premier collector of taxidermy specimens in the free world. I understand that you now have more than 600,000 stuffed animals, Mr. Wakeman.
Well, that's what the curators of my collection estimate, Neil. But until they complete their inventory in 1979, we won't know exactly how many stuffed animals, birds, fish, and insects I really own.
Well, the collection must be growing rapidly for you to lose count of your specimens that way.
Yes. It's not just a hobby with me anymore. It's a compulsive mania to own every stuffed animal I see. Now that so many old-time taxidermists are either retiring or going bankrupt, I'm beginning to be offered their complete store stocks, and they know I'm always in the market.
Well, I don't imagine there are too many other people that a retired taxidermist could sell his whole stock to. But it must keep you busy traveling to look at the collections that are offered.
Yes, I'm on the road most of the time now, Neil. I did get back to my home in Chicago to spend part of Christmas Day with my wife and children. But by doing that, I missed a chance to buy a rare stuffed pygmy crocodile. I'll never forgive Martha and the kids for causing me to blow that one.
Well, I know that every hobbyist listening in can appreciate how much damage a selfish wife can do. But getting back to your collection, I'm sure that other stuffed animal lovers are wondering where you found space to house 600,000 specimens.
Well, that's been a continuing problem, Neil. I started in one room of my home, but of course the collection outgrew that very quickly, so I bought the house next door. And after that, I picked up an old abandoned dirigible hangar. Now, I just keep scanning the paper for large buildings like that to buy.
Well, there aren't too many places as big as a dirigible hangar for sale, are there?
Well, they're not advertised on the open market, but you can find them if you know how to go about it. For example, when I read a few months ago that the Salt Lake City professional basketball team had folded up, I called right away and bought their field house. Now, I have almost 500 stuffed elephants stored on the ground level out there. And then up in the seats, I have smaller specimens like owls, swordfish, insects, birds, things like that.
Well, that brings up a question.
Excuse me, Neil. I might just add that I now have 14,500 stuffed specimens in the grandstand out there, and that's a bigger crowd than the Salt Lake City team ever drew for a basketball game.
Well, that's truly an achievement you can be proud of, sir.
I'm mighty proud of it.
But I wanted to ask you about the reference you made to insects in your collection. I never knew that insects were considered taxidermy specimens.
Well, it's true some of my insects have been pickled rather than stuffed, Neil. But I collect them anyway if they have historical significance. For example, I recently bought 12,000 pickled locusts from a gentleman who said they'd been in his family ever since the great locust plague of 1847.
I see. Well, in cases like that, could you tell us how you get documentary proof that the specimens you buy really have historical significance?
No, I wouldn't know how to tell you to do that. As I said, my avid collecting has grown into a compulsive mania. So I believe whatever people want to tell me. In fact, I barely even heard the guy who was telling me about the background of his 12,000 locusts. I was too busy writing out the check to buy them.
Uh-huh. So in other words, you admit that you may have been cheated.
How could I have been cheated? I got the 12,000 locusts, didn't I?
Yes, and I guess you got a fair deal if the only important thing is owning 12,000 locusts, regardless of their background.
Yes, that was the only important thing. I had to have them. Incidentally, what will you take for those two specimens over there?
Let me see. Oh, well, I Couldn't sell them, Mr. Wakeman. Those specimens are Bob and Ray. And they aren't stuffed. They're just asleep.
Oh, well, here's my card. Give me a call if you change your mind and want to talk business. Goodbye.
And we've been visiting today with the world's leading collector of taxidermy specimens, Mr. Harvey Faxter Wakeman. Now, until time for our next get-together in the Hobby Hut, this is Neil Clummer urging all of you to have a good day and find a good hobby.
The lower. Stocks in the American Exchange were higher. 2,236,000 shares traded. The market-wide index up 0.03 at 101.63. Pan Ocean Oil unchanged at 18 1/8. Azemarill Oil up 5/8 at 11 1/4. And United Brand Warrants unchanged at 1 1/8. There you have it, the news and the business news, the 5:30 report, our next news as it happens, next scheduled news at 6:30, right here over WOR, the Talk of New York. And I should explain, if you felt a rumble in your car radio or your home radio, it's not your set. I just kicked the microphone.
Say, Roger, is the ice out of the river in Buffalo, Minnesota now? Or?
The last I heard, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's kind of late this year, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, as a matter of fact.
Don't they have a big bet up there when the ice goes out of the river?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And there's a rule. If there are any ice fishes, houses, rather, you know that they fish through.
Right.
If it's they're out there after a certain point, they can't take them off, and they fall into the lake, and that's the end of it.
Oh, really?
If they can't get out there first and burn them up.
Uh-huh. And is that a no-no, or is that a...
That's a no-no, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, then, Roger. We'll be seeing you in about an hour or so.
I hope so.
And don't kick the microphone again.
No, I'll
you
try
do.
Not
the
to.
The only newscast is broadcast with his feet on the table.
Yeah.
It couldn't happen otherwise.
Very expensive equipment, you know, Roger. Yeah, he does a very relaxed approach. Kind of lies back there in an easy chair and reads the news. Well, anyway, 71 degrees here in sunny Manhattan. It will be clear and mild tonight, a low near 50. Partly sunny and quite mild tomorrow, with a high in the low 70s. Fair tomorrow night, with a low in the low 50s. The outlook for Friday, partly cloudy and mild, with a high in the mid-60s. Repeating the current New York temperature, 71 degrees.
What's your favorite time of the year? Fall? Okay, but can winter be far behind? Winter? But in order to get to skiing, you have to wade through all that snow, ice, slush, and rain. Summer, maybe. Well, better think again. 96 in the shade, and there isn't any shade, and the humidity, just forget it. Springtime? Well, now that's a favorite time of the year. And York Air Conditioning would like you to have springtime at your house all year round. Your local York Whole House Air Conditioning dealer has springtime in a machine, and he'll install one of York's springtime machines at your house quicker and for less money than you think. Consult the Yellow Pages for your local York dealer. He wants to keep America comfortable, and he wants to start at your house, so call him for a free home air conditioning survey in New York. Call 212-894-6837. In Westchester, Putnam, Long Island, and Fairfield County, Connecticut, call Collect 212-894-6837.
And at 20 before 6, let's go aloft now to Helicopter 710 and see how the traffic is moving. Here's George Meade. And now, the makers of Einbinder Flypaper, a name you've gradually grown to trust over the course of three generations, invite you to ride with the men of Squad Car 119.
My name's Sam Finch. Me and my partner, Ralph R. Kruger Jr., are the unsung heroes of the police force. We ride a prowl car at night. Sometimes the streets are slippery because it's been raining. Other times they only seem slippery because our tires don't have tread left on them. Either way, we're always on the lookout for trouble. The other evening, I just pulled the squad car over to the curb because I was tired of driving it around the block. It was then that my partner, Ralph R. Kruger Jr., turned to me and said,
"Can you buy canned celery that's still got the tops on, Sam?"
Beats me, Ralph R. Kruger, Jr. I don't remember seeing any canned celery in the stores at all. But if they do have it, I doubt if they'd put it in cans with the celery tops left on.
Well, that's the way it shapes up to me, too, Sam. But Irma made out a list of things she wants me to bring home tonight. And right at the top, she's got canned celery with the tops left on and fresh stewed tomatoes.
Well, I don't want to cause you any more worry than you've already got, Ralph R., Jr., but I don't think you can get fresh stewed tomatoes at a grocery store either.
No kidding, Sam. Well, where would I have to go to get them?
Well, I don't want to cause you more worry than you've already got, but I don't think you can get fresh stewed tomatoes anyplace. The stewed ones all come in cans.
I'm sorry to hear that, Sam. Unless Irma gets something mixed up on the list, the only thing she wants in a can is celery with the tops left on.
Celery with the tops left on and fresh...
Calling Car 119, Car 119. A liquor store holdup in progress at 2838 South Yucca Street. That's a liquor store holdup at 2838 South Yucca, 119.
2838 South Yucca, huh?
That's us, Sam. Let's roll.
I sure hate to go into that 2800 block on Yucca, Ralph R. Jr. It's real narrow along there, and then besides that, people are always double-parked, waiting to get into Rudolph and Dominic's Greater Southside Kit Kat Club.
I know what you mean, Sam. You can scrape a fender awful easy along there.
Yeah.
They shouldn't allow parking on a street that narrow. And then it just gets worse at night when people double-park, waiting to get into Rudolph and Dominic's Greater Southside Kit Kat Club.
Yeah, the worst of it is that we're responsible for scraped fenders on the squad car, even when they're not our fault.
Well, it sure wouldn't be our fault if we scraped them on the 2800 block on South Yucca, Sam. It would be the fault of all those people double parking there while they wait to get into Rudolph and Dominic's Greater Southside Kit Kat Club.
Yeah, I know, but you can't tell that to the old man. He doesn't want to hear excuses when we scrape a fender on a narrow street.
You're right about that, Sam. The old man never wants to hear excuses. He just docks us for the cost of fixing the fender.
Yeah, you're right, Ralph R. Jr. It doesn't seem fair.
Well, I guess it's fair from the old man's standpoint, Sam. After all, Rudolph and Dominic's Greater Southside Kit Kat Club doesn't even belong on Yucca Street. Yucca Street's nowhere near the Greater South Side.
Yeah, you're right about that. I never thought of that either.
Car 119, disregard that call on a liquor store holdup in progress at 2838 South Yucca Street. The case has been handled by the men of Squad Car 74. The suspect has been apprehended, booked, and brought to trial. In 1 minute, the results of that trial.
While we wait to hear the outcome of today's exciting case, a word of warning from the makers of Einbinder Flypaper. Friends, have you noticed the ominous signs of spring that are appearing all around you? Daffodils are in bloom in many parts of the country. There's also evidence that trees are starting to bud. Perhaps never before has it been so frighteningly clear that summer is almost upon us. We must face the fact that hordes of flies will soon be buzzing around your head and those of your loved ones. But there's still time to head off disaster if you act quickly. Rush to your flypaper dealer this very day and spend whatever you can afford on genuine Einbinder flypaper. It could be the one thing that will get you through this summer alive while others perish. And make certain you don't settle for anything less than Einbinder, the flypaper you've gradually grown to trust over the course of three generations.
The suspect in that armed robbery on Yucca Street was found guilty on one count of double parking while he committed an armed robbery. Double parking is a crime punishable by a fine of not less than $5 or more than $15.
So another desperate criminal is brought to justice thanks to the unsung heroes of the police force, the men who ride the squad cars at night.